This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
A New Life Begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure to head over to Metal Nexus for all your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of this very podcast. This is episode 170. The guests this week are Elias of Nonpoint and Eric Peterson from Testament and Dragon Lord. Two great interviews coming up for you guys, so you get a little double shot of Talk To Me this week. It's going to be a lot of fun, but first, let's talk a little bit about the Rockin' Pod Expo. It is this weekend, this Saturday, August 25th. The Nashville Palace, Nashville, Tennessee. I hope to see you all there. We did just get the sad news that Head from Corn will be attending Jonathan Davis's wife's funeral on Saturday, so he will not be able to make his appearance. There will not be a live Talk To Me with Head from Corn. I'm just kind of scrambling to see if I can find a special live guest to maybe fill that slot. Nashville's full of talent, and let's see what we can do. Fingers crossed we'll have somebody cool. And we can still pull off a live Talk To Me while we are in Nashville at the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo 2. And one person we will be seeing in Nashville is Scott Bowling of Good Company with Bowling. Yes, my good friend down there in Atlanta, Georgia, with his great show, Good Company with Bowling. Check it out on YouTube. Check it out, scottgoodcompany.com. His archives include everyone from Head from Corn to LeJean from Seven Dust, members of Stuck Mojo, Islander, Fozzy, and so much more. Upcoming episodes with Jose Mangan. Andy just released his Eddie Trunk episode, which was fantastic. His highest downloaded episode with Rich Ward, and so much other great stuff. So if you want high-quality interviews, high-quality production from a high-quality person, make sure you are checking out Good Company with Bowling, my good friend Scott Bowling, down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Check him out. Let him know Talk To Me sent you over there. You know, I've been checking my iTunes lately, and I haven't had a new iTunes review in a long time. I know I stopped reading them on the air, but you guys can still throw them up there. So make sure to head over to your iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. Leave a nice five-star rating, nice five-star review. It will be much appreciated. And if you want to support the podcast monetarily, make sure you are hitting up patreon.com/talktome, selecting a tier, throwing a couple of bucks at the podcast, and it will be much appreciated. So to all of you that I will see in Nashville August 25th, I cannot wait to see you. Cannot wait to have a beer with you. Let's hang out. Let's talk. You'll actually get to see me interview some people at the Talk To Me booth, sharing a booth with Baco from Cobras and Fire. It's going to be a lot of fun getting to hang out with that guy. I'm sure we will be doing a lot of podcasting throughout the day. And it's pretty cool, man, just kind of seeing how the sausage is made with all of your favorite podcasts. So make sure to head on down this Saturday, August 25th, Nashville, Tennessee. $10 gets you in the door. It's worth its weight in podcast gold. So without any more of my ramblings, let's talk to Elias from Nonpoint. Let's check out Rob Rivera's pick from the kit, and then we will talk to Eric Peterson of Testament and Dragon Lord, and then I will see you guys on Saturday. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Joshua Toomey with Talk To Me podcast.
Outstanding. I am Elias from Nonpoint.
Well, fantastic. Well, fans of the show should know that Nonpoint is a friend of the show, with Rob Rivera having his weekly pick from the kit on my show. So yeah, there you go.
Well, we love being picked.
Right. Yeah, and I do believe that this is now the first full band that's been on the podcast, because Rashid, BC, and Adam have all been on, and obviously Rob's on weekly. So yeah, now we're all here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, very cool, man. Well, you ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
All right. How's your day been going? Have you been you've been going through the car wash of interviews today?
Yes, I have. But I got my daughter next to me, and she's making it as enjoyable as it possibly can be.
Well, very cool. Yes. Hey, there you go. Yeah, I actually had to pick up my son in the car rider line, so I just now got out of the car rider line, and he ran into the gas station to grab some snacks. So, family affair today.
Yes.
Well, cool, man. We're here to talk about X, the brand new album by Nonpoint, coming out August 24th, Spine Farm Records. And as everybody here knows, huge fans of Nonpoint on the show. And once again, Elias, thanks for taking some time.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks.
Well, you know, you guys were supposed to be taking a year off, and not only did you not take a year off, you wrote and recorded an entire new album and have toured this year so far. So what happened with the supposed year off?
Well, we wanted to take, at the very least, a year to do the record. You know, as we took the time off, you know, we didn't want to focus on anything in the early stages. But, you know, when you're sitting at home and you have time and you're feeling creative, you write, and songs started flying back and forth. And next thing you know, we had a collection of songs together.
Yeah. And I just got to listening to it, man. It's actually a fantastic album. I didn't even realize it was in my email until wait a minute. I bet it's in my email. And I listened to it on the ride over, man. And I was, aside from the, you know, obviously the songs that have been released so far, you know, I was kind of checking out the newer ones, and man, you guys are shining on this one.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks. We put a lot of time and effort into it.
So this is the first, you know, obviously with BC being on the last album, but I feel like you might have let the reins off of BC a little bit more. I mean, there's one song where he's absolutely shredding, you know, some stuff here and there. So how much has BC, you know, joining the band and been in the fold for so long kind of added to Nonpoint?
He's a proficient guitar player and a beast on stage. And, you know, we wanted both of that in our band. Adding Rashid also to same thing, you know, mm-hmm. He's a beast on stage and you know, a great writer and a great performer. So, you know, adding them both was you know, additions to the band that really opened up possibilities. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when it comes to BC, he was somebody that we were looking to get in the band when Andy first bowed out. So, it's been a long time coming, and I really feel like he's getting in his groove.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great addition to the band, and that definitely doesn't take anything away from Rashid or even Adam joining the band. But you know, BC is one of those rarities when it comes to the guitar.
Absolutely.
What are some of your outside influences? I know, I feel like kind of over the years you've kind of talked about not listening to a ton of metal and stuff. I mean, what do you listen to in your time off?
As of late, I've been listening to a lot of new music. You know, mm-hmm. I leaned away from it a little bit too long. And I really want to, you know, be inspired by, you know, what our youth is listening to, mm-hmm. and where, music is going and, you know, checking out people that are really taking chances, in whatever genre it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to keep your mind open to those things, because you have, lots of different ways that you can be inspired.
Right. And so what's like something specific you've been listening to? Because I mean, for me, you know, I'm pushing 40, but I have young kids in school and stuff. So it's, you know, I hear what they're listening to. And a lot of times I do kind of feel like the, you know, get off my lawn guy when it comes to some of this stuff. I'm like, you know, that's not hip hop. You know, I want you to listen to Dr. Dre or something, you know, it's stuff like that. Yeah, so what are you checking out?
I started that way too. And then I started really giving myself the permission to mm-hmm. just enjoy a fucking song, man. You know, if it's a good song and it makes me smile and no matter how, you know, goofy the lyrics may be or how silly it may be, you know, you got to kind of go back to your youth. And if a song is snappy and you like it, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you're not going to like it. Nobody's forcing you to do it. But for you to not have a good time or enjoy something, especially if you see friends or loved ones or other people that you enjoy time around, spending time with, you open your mind and you open your likes to new things and you try new things. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's really been a lot of new hip hop and a lot of new, artists that are, you know, really opening up the things like verses, really taking, time to explain things, mm-hmm. like, you know, Kendrick Lamar and, singers like SZA, but I still, you know, lean on my, you know, Weather Report records, mm-hmm. you know, and listen to jazz and listen to James Brown, listen to Earth, Wind & Fire, and listen to, Tribe Called Quest and Wu and Nas and, Jay-Z and Ol' Biggie and stuff like that. But then at the same time, too, there's Cardi songs that I like that I dance around with my daughter. And, you know, it's like it's music's here to enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you find yourself being too critical with music, you'll miss some fun times.
Yeah, absolutely. And just I know there's like some mumble rap out there. There's got to be like the top guy, because it obviously can't be an entire genre, kind of based on the mumble rap stuff. That's there's got to be the Nirvana of mumble rap out there, and I just haven't found them yet.
Yeah, man, there's a couple good ones. I'm from South Florida, so Post Malone is kind of my. You're gonna laugh your ass off. You All ready?
Right. Yeah.
You ready to laugh your ass off? My mother calls me one day.
Okay.
My fucking mother calls me one day. And she goes, "Oh my God, Elias, I'm in love with this song from this guy. I can't remember the name of the song, but I think his name is Post Malone." And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, I have to turn up I have to put my windows up because, you know, the words are kind of bad and I don't want people to look at me in the car and hear me listening, singing along with this music." I'm like, "Mom, that's pretty amazing." she's finding enjoyment out of it. Sometimes you just got to have a good time.
How has your mom been supportive of you through your career? Has she always been supportive, or is she, maybe when you first started kind of hoping you would have taken a different path?
Oh, no. She's always been supportive. I think following your dreams is something that if your parents see you even semi-successful at it, it's always something that they'll support.
So you and Rob have been together since, roughly around 97 with Nonpoint, as Nonpoint. And, 21 years in, what's kind of kept you and him together, and what kind of a relationship have you guys built over the years?
The fans, and it's as strong of a relationship as any kind of, brotherly relationship can be when you're, shared, not only an apartment at times, but, just a business and a brand and a band as long as we have, mm-hmm. You go through it all. So it's a strong bond. A bond that's fueled by, a high opinion that our fans hold of us, and what better fuel source than the excitement of a fan base.
Absolutely. We discussed earlier, this is your 10th album, obviously named X after the Roman numeral 10. Do you still get excited around this time, a week or so out from the album being released, doing the press and stuff? Does this still fuel the fire?
Yeah. It's all part. It makes me, just as much as anybody else that either somewhat loves their job or feels the sense of accomplishment when things are done. Mm-hmm. It feeds a little bit of purpose in your life. So I do get excited around this time.
Having kids yourself, I mean, how have you wanted to tour lately? Because I know, like, obviously on a bigger scale, a band like Metallica, where they only want to do 50 dates a year so they can be home with family, are you guys trying to, do maybe 6 weeks at a time, have a couple of weeks with the kids, stuff like that? Is obviously the years of grueling touring is over?
Yeah, we're definitely putting some time in between our tours. If you're listening to this and you see us coming into your town, or you hear we're coming into your town, you're definitely going to want to catch us, because we're definitely going to put some space between cities these days. We're probably going to hit these cities once maybe twice in a cycle, because we want people to, you know, get excited about us coming to town. And, you know, like you just said, it's really about us getting some time with our family.
And with the time off, when you guys said you guys weren't doing anything, and this is how deep it got. I mean, like I said, Rob's on this podcast weekly, and I didn't even know that you guys were doing anything. He had stated that, you know, he kind of enjoyed, you know, saying that you guys weren't doing anything. So nobody asked you, like, you know, are you guys recording? Are you guys writing? Are you guys doing anything? Because the blanket, you know, the blanket statement was, no, we're taking a year off. So it wasn't a whole lot of pressure to do stuff. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I didn't answer anybody's email. Yeah. I waited till it was, I put enough space. You know, I take my time off seriously.
Yeah. And then the tour you guys are going out with that we kind of just talked about, I mean, you know, starts August 21st in Lexington, Kentucky, ends, you know, yeah, August or September 19th with He Is Legend and Letters from the Fire. Are you good friends with He Is Legend? Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with them, but not yet friends. I'm sure we'll become friends on this tour. They have a high energy show. Their fan base is similar in the sense of liking to see that kind of show. So it's a great addition to the package.
That's the well, let's talk about the one constant in the fan base is Sean Reinhart. You know, how did you guys come across Sean, and what does he mean to the band? Because I know he's a big part of the promotional side.
Well, yeah, Sean has been a fan of the band, you know, from the early stages. He, I think he found us. I don't think we found him. I think he found us, and he's just a really, really huge supporter of the band, and always goes out of his way to help us when we're doing little side things helping us being a bit of a representative to that 361 fan base, mm-hmm, and that core following that he pretty much almost curates himself. everybody knows Sean in that group. I think he's pretty much the one that started the group. He's always shown us love, so we always show him love.
Are you online often? Are you out there talking to fans and stuff like that, or do you kind of keep that private?
I keep it kind of private. I use social media sparingly, mm-hmm, because I deal with a lot of the business side stuff and a lot of the creative. So I got my head buried in Pro Tools, Photoshop, and and label calls. I don't spend a lot of time online.
When you talk Photoshop, are you doing a lot of the band stuff? Or is that personal stuff?
Yeah, merch stuff, designing all the stuff on the next merch run. BC helps me with that too. He's a great designer as well. Mm-hmm. But everybody pulls their weight when it's time to. And, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you want to add your little flair to it. And, I'm taking on the designs for this next run.
Is that out of necessity, or is that out of, you know, you just, you know, kind of a control freak in that aspect, or is that just trying to save costs?
For what it costs and the product that you get out of it, a lot of times it's like, well shit, man, I could have done that on my own. But in 20 minutes, it took me 4 weeks to get that from you. You probably just did it right before you called, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just got smart to it. I it's hard to, you know, go back and forth trying to explain your vision over email. So I just got my fucking elbows dirty and got in there and learned how to do it myself.
You know, I just read today that Bad Wolves cover of Zombie went platinum. You know, you guys have kind of got some success with In the Air tonight with, you know, the Phil Collins tune. And then obviously, you know, even back to like Limp Bizkit with Faith, you know, kind of helped break the band. I mean, do you feel like a good cover kind of can sneak you into a lot of people's ears?
I mean, yeah, those guys did the cover justice, and you know, they're getting some great success off of it. So, you know, it worked great for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work for everybody. We love to do covers when we kind of feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, we really didn't feel like it. But you know, all power to everybody who wants to do what they feel like. That's what this whole, you know, this whole journey is about. Sometimes you want to sing a great song because of the way it inspired you, and you want to put your feeling behind someone else's words because, you know, it could be something that you're feeling right there. So you're going to be able to sing it with conviction and with vigor. That's awesome. You know, I recommend anybody at least try to cover one song once in their life, just to, you know, give yourself a little bit of relinquish yourself a little bit over the responsibility and really focus on the performance and have fun with things. You know, sometimes it gives you a better angle on how to write a song just by dipping your toe into somebody else's pool a little bit. So for us, we dipped our toe in that pool a ton of times, and I'm sure there'll be a time maybe somewhere down the line where we'll think of doing another one. Like I said, all power to people that want to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, is it something where you guys hear a song and you're like, man, we could do something with that, or is it sporadic, you know, sound check jam? I mean, how do you guys come across maybe doing something like that?
Sometimes I think most of the time it's been just an idea that has been like, man, that would be something that we could put our spin on, because we really want to do that more than anything. I think the closest to ever covering a song exactly how it was 5 minutes. 5 minutes alone on our Miracle track. But, you know, again, it got lost in the mix because it was so close to what it was. And, you know, that's something that we probably don't want to do again. Even though, you know, Vinny himself said that we did the song justice. So we appreciated the love from it. But, you know, we like what we did with In the Air Tonight. We like what we did with songs like, you know, Evil Ways back in the day, mm-hmm. when we heard that from Santana. So, you know, we're definitely a fan of changing it up.
Yeah, definitely losing Vinny recently, man, that's a huge loss for everybody.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words.
He was at the Vegas show, wasn't he? Like just like recently before he passed.
Yeah, and it was pretty it's still pretty surreal.
Yeah.
That it was so close to that that time. But Vinny was always a very humble, quiet fan of our band, and showed his support by coming to our gigs when we didn't even know half the time he was coming. you know, and you know, those moments around the barbecue, you know, when he calls you over, he's like, "Hey, man, fucking In the Air Tonight cover is probably one of the best fucking covers I ever heard in my life, man. You guys sure did that song justice." Or, you know, seeing us as we come off stage. And he was a good friend. He was a good friend.
Did you get some, spend some time with him at the last show?
Yeah, I was lucky. I was very lucky.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I got to see him, I guess a year ago, but kind of roughly the same thing where he was, you know, that's how he is, man. He just holds court and he gives everybody a good time. And, you know, no matter if it's someone he doesn't know or his best friend, I'm assuming everybody almost gets treated the same. He was a great dude.
He is. He was the greatest host in rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. And then let's go and wrap it up with a couple of last things here with the with, you know, obviously 10 albums out going on tour. You know, how do you guys you know, pick the set list? Do you guys go try to do something off every album, or just, you know, just go straight songs?
No, we're going to do a whole bunch of new songs. We're going to add some old favorites that people haven't heard in a while. We're going to keep some of the bangers that people are always looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of them. You know, like I said, we want to change it up enough, and so that way people are starting to get excited about us coming back around the town.
And then let's leave this with the track off the new album. Let's do Chaos and Earthquakes. Do you have a little story about maybe the lyrics of that, or maybe something recording that?
Chaos and Earthquakes. Holy shit! Look at the world we're living in. That about wraps that up.
Well, Elias, man, thanks so much for taking the time today. And once again, X is out August 24th.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, Elias, take care.
Later, bro.
Correct, watching everybody fight each other, sister versus brother, peace versus war. rich against the poor. Different versus different. Bed versus the floor. Wall versus the door. Sure, black, water, black, money, black. Money back in green, back in season. Spring, fall, and summer, time for all natural reasons. Wanna decide which side you're gonna go to, which evil side is upon us this time. Mind your business, stay in line. Find your calling, enterprise. Cut your way off the red tape. Leave the things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes. Cut your way off the red tape. Leave the things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes. This is maniacal. Entire societies are falling without a net and beneath them with no one digging them out. The fire has gotten out of control. We got no water, no buckets, and we're lucky if tomorrow comes. Why is it important anymore? Sure, I'd like to know that need to know information, but when I know it, what reactions will it cause when they finally show up, dressed up, amped up in a black car? Wanna decide which side you're gonna go to? Which evil side is upon us this time? Mind your business, stay in line. Find your glory, enterprise. Cut your way off the red tape. Leave the things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes. Cut your way off the red tape. Leave the things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes.
From Limp Bizkit, Big Dumb Face, Black Light Burns, Queen Fong, and you're listening to Talk To Me.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, not bad, man. This is Josh Toomey with the Talk To Me podcast. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic, man. Getting to talk to you today. It's been like a test a month on my show. I just had Gene Hoagland, and then the week before was Chuck Billy. So it's test a month at this point.
That's cool.
So if my calculations are correct, you're in Utah. Is that where you guys are?
Yeah, that's where I'm at today. Yeah.
Very good, very good. And how's the final Slayer tour going for you? Obviously, having Gene and Chuck on, I know their opinion, but I mean, how's it going for you?
It's going good. Yeah, it's, the shows have been great. Really great turnout. Fans are awesome, and yeah, I mean, so far so good. At first, I was, you know, just the, some of our, so the, well, the first spot, the first tour we had, I was a little concerned with, you know, how many people would be there and whatnot, but it, people are pouring in, and we haven't had one bad show yet. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Even when you guys were first on the bill, it seemed like a very, you know, such a stacked bill that I figured people would be there as soon as doors opened. And, I was at the Nashville show recently, and, you know, I was there early to talk to Gene, but I could tell there was lines starting at like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon. So yeah, people are excited to see all five bands on the bill.
Yeah, definitely. It's a history through time, you know.
Absolutely.
Of heavy music. It's pretty cool.
It's very good, man. And I have to say, you guys killed it the other night. I was thoroughly impressed by you guys, by the entire bill, but most definitely you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had Nashville was a lot of fun. The night before, I went to go see Joe Bonamassa.
Oh, cool.
And that was pretty cool. Got to hang out with him for a bit. And yeah, Nashville is always fun. It's just, it's so crazy, the scene there, just walking around. I think we were in a taxi and we were in one block for like about 20 minutes. It's just insane. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it's an insane town, man. They're saying 100 people a day are moving there, and that's been going on for the last few years. So it's the old it town now.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Vegas downtown on the weekend. I couldn't believe it's like a college town meets Vegas or something.
Yeah, when I was like right around 16, 17, 18 in the mid-90s, that's when like the Sunset Strip started to move to town. So it became very odd. Like, you would go to shows and you'd look over and you're like, are those the Nelson twins? Like, why are they here? And stuff like that. So it was, that town's been ever evolving since then.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. We recorded a record, or we mixed a record there in Mount Juliet with Michael Wagner. That was back in 97.
Nice.
And that's, you know, I remember people were talking about it then, that, you know, a lot of people are moving into town. So
do you have, do you have history with Joe Bonamassa, or was it just you happened to be in town kind of thing, or are you you know, friends with him?
I've been a longtime fan of Joe forever, and Nashville, yeah, the other night was the first time I got to meet him. So mm-hmm. I was super excited. But awesome. I would imagine I'm going to be going to some more shows and hanging out.
That's awesome. And the one thing I noticed about the actual Testament show, and we'll get into Dragon Lord, what we're supposed to be talking about in a minute, but you know, there's just so much talent on stage with you guys, and I know you're a primary songwriter, so it must be nice for you to know that you can pretty much write anything you want, and you know that the band is going to be able to pull it off.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a big part of with songwriting and playing live, for sure. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. That's kind of, you know, when I do come up with stuff, I know that, especially with Gene, you know, the foundation, the drums,
yeah,
you know that he's going to be able to nail it. So,
yeah,
and it's a lot. It's a different mindset than the, you know, the first 10 years of Testament with Louie. I mean, Louie was more of a hard rock drummer. And he was a thrasher in the beginning, but his style leaned more towards, you know, hard rock. And I think when, you know, when the original lineup split up and Louie was still going to move on with us, I think when he kind of knew what I wanted to do, he was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, that's when we got John Tempest in the band, and we started writing songs like Dogface Gods and, you know, leaning more towards the, I wouldn't say death metal, but just more of the Euro type stuff that was influenced by us. And now we're getting influenced. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely definitely that period of time in there, you know, where James Murphy shows up and, you know, I still play Low like it's a brand new album. I think it's obviously one of my favorites, but yeah, it was, like I said, man, great to see you guys the other night.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, so Dragon Lord, Dominion out September 21st, Spine Farm Records. I mean, this is your baby. Talk a little bit about the kind of the mindset behind the band, and you know, what made you want to start this side project or passion project?
Well, it's definitely a project vibe on this one. I did have kind of a band put together in 2006 that kind of fell apart a little bit. I had started having people from England and, you know, Jan Pyers from Cradle of Filth was jamming with me. The last show we did was in Japan. And did some shows after that with some other folks. A local guitarist named Scooby, he was, you know, a good friend of mine, and he played for a while. I wasn't feeling it, you know, like I just kind of put it up on its shelf for a while. It wasn't until 2010 that Lyle and I started kind of just goofing around with some ideas. And we just stumbled on a bunch of good stuff that we decided to move forward with it. So, yeah, I mean, we just, it was a very odd record to make.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of hurdles. it's been so long that I put out a record. It's been 12, 13 years. And that alone just is enough anxiety to just make you go like, what? But, you know, now that it's said and done, and I have all the lyrical stories for the songs that make sense, it's very relevant. It's still, you know, the music and the lyrical content. It's another timeless piece of, you know, thrash, black metal, melodic, symphonic kind of music that I'm pretty happy with.
Yeah, listening to it the last few days, I was definitely getting a, you know, you're obviously not going to get away from the Testament vibe a little bit, but it's obviously also got the black metal and the symphonic stuff in it too, which I was like, you know, completely digging. And the, you know, with you doing the vocals and stuff, when did you figure out that you had that voice in you?
Oh, first of all, did they send you the record?
Yeah, I had the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you kind of, there's been a couple interviews where they haven't heard anything, and I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah. So, so I'm sorry. What was your question again?
I was saying that the, you know, when did you find that you had that voice in you, the voice that you use on this record?
You know, I from hanging out with Leah and talking about vocals, and she turned me on to this vocal coach kind of thing. It's called Brett Manning. And one of the things that he teaches is getting inside the lyrics and like telling the story.
Okay.
Cause I'm definitely not, I don't consider myself a singer. I'm not like a guy that can just start singing and people go, oh my God, you're such a great singer.
Right.
I have to go into the whole mode. Like it's almost like an acting kind of thing. So when you have that, when you go into that mode, you actually start doing what, you know, you start getting your sound because you're not thinking about hitting notes or, you know, trying to be a singer, so to speak.
Right.
So you just kind of, you get into the lyrics, you get into the character of the song. And before you know it, you know, when I look back, I mean, this, that whole analogy of mind thought, you all of a sudden I'm like, wow, now I sound like I'm singing. So, yeah, I mean, one for a good example would be like Love of the Damned, where, you know, there's no screaming at all on the whole record. The whole song. And when I look back at that one, it's almost like it's not out of place, but it's got its spot in there, and probably due because of the story, mm-hmm. the storyline, which is based around Dante's Inferno. Kind of Beatrice gets taken to the underworld, but she falls in love with the Prince of Darkness, and it kind of fits into the whole vibe of Dominion. But the rest of it is just more confidence, you know, like looking back at what I did. And I remember on Black Wings of Destiny, I had some problems with the heavier stuff because I was on a time frame. I was in Sweden. I had to get the vocal. I had this week to get the vocals done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of stress because like some days my vocals were just, they weren't feeling it. On this one, if I wasn't feeling it, I just went away for 2 months.
Right.
So everything that I laid down, I was feeling it. There wasn't anything like, oh, well, just get it done. You know, do your best. On this one, I got to do my best and feel it. So, I mean, a lot of people don't have the, or can't probably record like that. I mean, it's not something I advise for people to do because you just piss a lot of people off, but right. I got away with it on this one. So, yeah. And it shines through on it, I think.
Now you kind of keep talking about the through story of the album. When it comes to writing an album like that, I mean, do you kind of have the riffs, the ideas, some of the vocal lines? Do you have, do you sit down and write down a storyboard? I mean, how are you, putting together kind of the through line of this album?
Well, it definitely starts with the music, mm-hmm. And you build on top of that. And I do, in the past, I did not think of the vocals as much as I do now. There was a couple in there that I didn't think of the vocals, like the Discord of Melkor. I think I had a pattern when I made it up, like 4 years ago, but, I didn't record anything. So when I came back to, to write the lyrics to it, I was just like dumbfounded. Like, what was I thinking? How am I going to sing over something like this? But as time evolved and went down the line, and I ended up getting inspired from Tolkien about the genesis of the Lord of the Rings and Eowa and the Anyor and the Valinor and all the characters from the First Age, where Melkor became the topic of it and discording the sound of Eowa, which was kind of like God, kind of how he took the whole genesis of the Bible and put it in his story. That was real inspiring. And I've thought, wow, this would be perfect for the song. Because in the middle of the song, there's a part where it breaks down to just an orchestration. And to me, that could be like the theme of, the Anyor building up to make Middle Earth or whatever. I'm just a huge Tolkien fan, so I was real excited to, the problem was I wasn't turned in yet. But for me, now that it's said and done, to have that song on the record forever is killer.
Now, when did you become, the aware of Tolkien? Is this something that's, your whole life? Is this something recent?
Oh, my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, my whole life, yeah. I mean, ever since I was a teenager, definitely, started reading books on my own. And The Hobbit was something that was turned on to me when I was, probably grade school. But that's where I started getting into, comic books and wizards and, eighth grade starts getting turned on to Black Sabbath and the Scorpions and Venom and
right.
It all kind of went together, it's like, this is cool. So,
yeah, I think that D&D element of metal is not there as much as it once was, maybe in the 70s and the 80s, when you would, mm-hmm. listen to your Rush and also, have a game of D&D going for weeks.
Well, now it's Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
And D&D Borgir and Dragon Lord.
Right.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Awesome. Where did you come across Alex Bent? I know a lot of people know him from Trivium, but I believe he's been in your circle for a while.
Yeah, Trivium came later, like mm-hmm. maybe years later after he did the record. Alex was just a local player. I think Juan, your Tiega, my producer kind of helped me find somebody and said I had somebody perfect for this. He just quit Cetro's band. He was in Cetro's band that I guess was his project before Exodus. And I was like, 21, that's kind of young. But yeah, he jammed. They came over my house and we set up his kit in my living room. And I think he learned like Wolf Hunt and Sense of Allegiance. And I think I sent him a tape with some new stuff, some riffs, explained to him the drum beats. And yeah, it was killer. It sounded so good. I'm especially jamming in a living room always sounds really good.
Right.
An old 50s home with hardwood floors and, you can't beat that.
Right.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It seems like you kind of have similar, you know, I've heard Matt Hafey on here talking about Alex also, and it seems like they, you know, he's just kind of one of those dudes that just comes in and gets it, and obviously is a phenomenal player on top of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, he didn't know he, as an Alex, he didn't, wasn't aware of some, which was inspiring to me to turn him on to, you know, Neil Peart stuff from All the Worlds of Stage, like the 2112 version live, and, you know, Ian Pace from Deep Purple, like, what? He kind of invented the quads and the triplets. And so it was cool. Like, you know, we'd sit down and I'd play him stuff and he'd be like, wow, that's cool. And then we would jam. And then it was just like, it was super cool.
And with the through line of the story and stuff, are you putting this into a graphic novel, comics, you know, trying to do, as I guess, take it as far as you can on that end too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a different platform for DL, something to keep it going, because I probably will not be, you know, touring extensively or doing lots of shows. Testament's keeping me really busy, and we have a new record to work on. And so I kind of stumbled on an idea with the character called The Burner.
Okay.
And he is a time traveler. It's like a black metal superhero, which sounds kind of maybe a little silly, but it's not, because the story is like taking Braveheart and making it into an anime.
Okay.
It's not being, you know, there's no pun. There's no silliness about it. So yeah, once you start reading it, it's, I mean, there's probably a little pun when the Dragon Lord band starts talking and, you know, we start cussing and whatnot, but some of his stories that he goes through, you know, back into the 11th century, you know, burning churches down, hiding, finding the wolves in sheep's clothing, hiding behind the church and whatnot. And other stuff that will be revealed. So he kind of has this going on, and he comes back into our time because of me, because I'm zoned into him somehow. And I'm writing all these songs thinking that they're my thoughts, but they're his thoughts and experiences that he's had. And so he's seeking me out. And that's kind of where it leads off at. It's kind of like it's opened up, and we're working on the second one right now.
And is this something that you could, you know, even take all the way to like a Netflix or something? Are you thinking that big, or are you just like, big do you think?
That's what I want to do. I would like to get like a 4 series, something like Castlevania, like, or even like, I'm a big fan of the Berserker.
Okay.
If I could get that kind of art, I'd be blown away, but I have a good story. So that's a cool thing. There's some interest from some bigger publishers at the Comic-Con that were approaching me. And just meeting people like from Lady Death and, Evil Ernie and Lobo, people that heard about it and were like, already knew about it or read it or something. So that was really cool. I mean, I was just like, wow. And they're like, yeah, what a great story. You know, it's not your typical, I don't think there is any black metal superheroes. So,
yeah, I can't say that there is.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of got that Spawn kind of vibe. I mean, there is the elements out there, but not put into the way I'm doing it.
Yeah, and obviously Testament's drummer Gene Hoagland was also in Metalocalypse and Death Clock. So I'm sure there's some connections there too. That you know, get Brandon Small on the phone.
Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah. Hey, Gene, hook him up. Well, Eric, man, it's been great talking to you. I did want to end the episode off here with Dominion off of the new album Dominion, out September 21st on Spine Farm Records. Any story behind the song? Obviously, there's a story, but do you want to maybe shed a little light on the song?
This song is basically got kind of like everything that it goes to a lot of different places. It starts off, it takes off, and you're right into the Dragon Lord vibe. It's got a little bit of, I guess, biblical prophecy kind of stuff. What's going on in the world? And the darkness upon our world, the dominion. It's very abstract, but then it also goes into some older school type of guitar playing mm-hmm. when it breaks down into the solos. And that's where my influences come out. And then of course, introduce some clean singing and It's just it's kind of a long song, but it's got a good vibe. And yeah, the next one that's coming out will be Northlanders. I think we're dropping a video really soon on that one.
Nice.
And so yeah, but anyway, yeah, Dominion, the title track, and it's super heavy.
Well, Eric Peterson, man, thanks so much for taking the time today. Good luck on the rest of the Slayer tour, and good luck with the latest Dragon Lord album. And thanks for taking the time.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
Once again, thank you to Elias from Nonpoint. Make sure you're getting their new album X. It is out tomorrow if you're listening on post day, August 24th, Spine Farm Records. And then also Eric Peterson of Testament, the ongoing Testa month here on the Talk To Me podcast. Make sure you're checking out his Dragon Lord project once it's out September 21st, also on Spine Farm Records. And then also check me out Saturday, August 25th, Nashville, Tennessee, the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Be there or be square. Bring a buddy, tell a friend, and all the other wonderful things. And I believe my Titans play the Steelers at about 4 o'clock that day, so I'll probably be watching football on my phone at some point. But yeah, so for the Talk To Me podcast, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net, head over to MetalNexus.net for all of the metal news, reviews, interviews, photographs, all kinds of great stuff, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. I am Joshua Toomey. See you Saturday in Nashville, and I will talk to you guys next Thursday.